2. So if you want to turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 2, you can do that. And you'll see, as if you skim ahead, which don't jump ahead, but you'll see that we're talking about someone who maybe to everyone around her was considered unlovable, was maybe considered to be an outcast of society. But the story that we see in Scripture today is a story about how God weaves the story of even the most unlovable or the outcast of society. He takes their story and he weaves it into a story that he's writing, a story of redemption, a story of hope. And that is the story that we see of Rahab, the story of Rahab. Oh, I lost all my slides. Can you help me there? The story of Rahab in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. Yes, it says, "By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies." So we're talking about this lady, Rahab, who, it says, by faith did not perish like all those around her. Now you might say, well, what was so special about her faith? And this, it seems like it was just because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And I'm sorry, but didn't most prostitutes give a friendly welcome to people who walked in their doors? I mean, that is just kind of goes without saying, right? But there was something different about Rahab. There was something unique about her faith. It was a faith. It was a story of risk. And that's what we're going to be seeing today, is that faith comes alive when we are willing to take risks toward godly hope. And Rahab's faith was a risk. You know, throughout this story, throughout really the whole story of Joshua, we see a couple things. We see God's part, where he is extending hope to his people. And you see our part, or his people's part, where he's asking us to chase after hope, to take a risk. And what I mean by that is it's simply an act of faith where we lay down our own lives, our preferences, our priorities, and in order to arrive at the place that God would have for us. And what I'm not saying, and I think that this is what we think of when we talk about chasing after hope, sometimes we think, like, when we first got our dog, he was just a puppy, and we would hold out like a toy for him to chase after. We'd hold it out, we'd extend out this toy, and he would see it, and he would come flying. And what do you think we did? We moved it, right? Like, we moved it, and he'd go flying by. It was so fun. But we think that that's how God acts, too. That he extends to us hope, and when we're just about to catch it, he pulls it right out from underneath us. And our hope is lost. That's what we think. But that's not what God's doing. He's extending it to us so that it can be received. He wants us to attain the hope that he is promising to us. But it takes a risk. If you were to substitute the word risk every time you see the word faith in the Bible, you'd see that this is what God's asking us to do, is to lay down it all when we're following after him. And in today's story, we're going to see three groups of characters in chapter 2. And you'll see all three of them in the very first verse. In the first verse it says, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent two men secretly from Shittim as spies, saying, 'Go view the land, especially Jericho.' And they went and came into the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab and lodged there." So three groups. You see Joshua, you see the spies, and you see Rahab. All three of these characters are taking a risk for God as they are pursuing the hope that he has for them. Now, you might say, it seems like the one who has the least to lose in all of this is Joshua. I mean, he's sending the spies to do all of his dirty work, right? But that's not the case, because this is a key moment for Joshua. He has just taken over the lead of the Israelite people from Moses, someone who everyone revered, someone who everyone followed, except for that time when they were asked to go to Jericho, and when he was about to lead them into Jericho. At that point, Moses had sent the spies, the same thing that Joshua was doing, only a lot more spies, into the land so that they could get a report of what's going on in Jericho. And the report came back mixed, right? Most of them said, this is too big for us. This is too dangerous. And there were two spies, Joshua was one of them, and Caleb, who said, hey, wait, no, this is good. God has given us the land. But they chose not to follow God. And it sent a whole generation back into the wilderness where they were wandering for 40 years. And now Joshua, in his first act of leadership, takes them where? To Jericho. This is a huge risk. Could you imagine a new leader walking in and taking a group of people back into a place that led them to misery? That's what Joshua is doing. And it says that he sent two spies secretly into the land of Jericho. Now, of course, he's going to send two men secretly into the land. That's what a spy is they should go in secret. But I think what's being said here is that he's sending them secretly, even from God's people, even from Israel. Like, it was a secret to all people. The only ones who knew about it were Joshua and these spies. And if they failed their mission, he would disavow them. Oh, wait, no, I've just been watching too much Mission Impossible. But that's kind of the idea, right? Like, if anyone else were to find out about this, like, maybe they would be downcast. Maybe they would be discouraged. The spies obviously have a lot to lose. They are risking it all by going into a land that they were too afraid previously to walk into as a nation. And Rahab is taking a huge risk by accepting these spies into her home. But here's the thing. The risk of Rahab is one that I want to dive into a little bit more. Because there was a law code of the Hammurabi that said, that almost gave allowance for a person like Rahab to have people like the spies in her home. What wasn't okay was for her not to turn those spies over to the king when she was called upon. And it was early on, these spies apparently were not very good at their job, because it says that it was told to the king in verse 2, the king of Jericho, behold, men of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land. Then the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who entered your house, for they have come to search out all of the land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And she said, true, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And when the gate was about to be closed at dark, the men went out. I do not know where they went. You better pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them. Now, how is this a risk for Rahab? Well, the first big thing that was a risk was that she wasn't turning them over. So she was subjecting herself to the penalty that came with this code, which was death for her and her household. So if she didn't turn over these men, she's in big trouble. She recognizes this, and it says that she says to them, pursue them quickly. Because she's recognizing, you can almost see in the movie, right, that the gates are closing slowly, right? And she's saying, hurry up, go, run, quick. Because if you don't, the gates will close, and what's going to have to happen? They're going to search her home. And these guards think to themselves, they know what she has to lose. They know the risk that she's taking if she's not telling them the truth. And so they go and they pursue after these spies. Her quick thinking helps her in this sense. They go quickly out of her home so they can't search her house. But there's also a risk for the spies. It says in one of the very next verses, it says, so the men pursued, in verse 7, so the men pursued, these guards pursued them after, on the way to the Jordan, as far as the fords, and the gate was shut as the pursuers had gone out. Which means that the spies are trapped. They're trapped in the city. The pursuers are going out after them in a way that only they can go. It mentions very specifically that they went by the way of Jordan as far as the fords. Why does it say that specifically? Because there was a season where the Jordan was dry enough to pass over on land, and this wasn't that season. So it was a one-way track out, and the pursuers knew that, and they went. The spies knew that, and now they're going, uh-oh. We are in this woman's house. We are completely vulnerable. She could turn us over in an instant. Why? Why would Rahab take this risk on the spies? Why would Rahab knows this too. And she is taking a huge risk. Well, maybe you've heard the saying, no risk, no reward. Well, I think Rahab knew that. I think the spies knew it. I think Joshua knew it. But Rahab especially, this was a calculated risk that she was taking. One that would see her faith grow, which is why Hebrews mentions it. And this is what she says to the spies. After the pursuers go out after the spies, which they're not there, this is what Rahab says to them. She says, "For we have heard," talking about her and all the people of Jericho, she says, "We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who are beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and to Og, whom you devoted to destruction. The Lord your God himself..." Oh, wait. That's what she says, okay? She says this to the spies. Why is this a big deal? This is a big deal because she wasn't there when this all happened. This is just stuff that she has heard. And isn't it amazing that she's heard this, how God has gone before them, and this is so amazing to the spies. Because they have just seen this transition of power take place between Moses and Joshua. And do you know what was said during that transition? This is what was said in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 3 through 6. They said, "The Lord," this is Moses talking, "the Lord your God himself will go over before you. He will destroy these nations before you, so that you shall dispossess them, and Joshua will go over at your head as the Lord has spoken." Moses goes on, he says, "And the Lord will do to them, all those other countries who rise up against you, as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and to their land when he destroyed them. And the Lord will give them over to you, as you shall do to them, according to the whole commandment that I have commanded you." Isn't this amazing? A woman who is not there when Moses gives this speech to all of the Israelites is telling the spies, "Hey, I took this risk because I know what God has done for you. How he dried up the Red Sea, how he took out these two kings, Sihon and Og, the exact kings that Moses had told the rest of the Israelites about. How he said, hey, these are the men that God went out ahead of us in and destroyed for us." This has to give them some encouragement. In verse 6, Moses says this. He says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you." Can you imagine the spies remembering this? And as soon as Rahab says, "Hey, I know how God has gone before you in all these ways," and then them talking to each other and going, "That's right. This isn't news to us. Moses told us this. Moses told us that God was the one who was going out ahead of us. Moses told us to be strong and courageous and that God would never leave us. There's no risk here. There's a great reward. And the reward, when we take a risk with God, is always life. The problem is sometimes that we define what that life, what that reward looks like. Do you remember last week when Rick was talking about the hope bucket and all the things that we fill into that hope bucket? Those are the ways that we define life. When what God is saying is he's extending to us hope that can't be taken away in the person of Jesus Christ. God has extended that to us. The problem is that we try and redefine what life is, and we make it something that it's not. And that's why it feels like when we're pursuing God, when we're not really pursuing God, we're pursuing what we define as God. When those things get ripped away, we get discouraged. What God has said is that I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Do not be discouraged. I am with you. I've gone before you. Rahab has just seen this. She hasn't even experienced it herself. And she goes, I want that. I know what I've been pursuing, and it's led me nowhere. It's led me to be where I am today, where I don't have any friends. I don't have any good relationships. I don't have a good standing in this society. I see that my whole city is about to implode around me because God's people are knocking at the door. And she goes, all of this stuff that I've pursued throughout the years has led me nowhere. But I'm willing to take this risk because I've seen what God has done for you. I've seen how he's led you through hard places. I've seen how he's never left you or abandoned you. And she takes a risk. So what does that risk look like? And how can Rahab's risk, and how can the spy's risk, how can we model that? How can we follow a risk similar to that? Well, the first thing that we see Rahab do is what Hebrews talks about, which is the loving kindness. And that is to show loving kindness. We can do that. We can show loving kindness, right? But there's a specific kind of kindness that was shown here by Rahab and the spies. In verse 12, in Joshua 2:12, it says, now then, this is Rahab talking. She says, now then, please swear to me by the Lord that as I have dealt kindly with you, you also will deal kindly with my father's house, and give me a sure sign that you will save alive my father and my mother, my brothers and my sister, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death. And then the spies reply back, and they say to her, our life for yours, even to death, if you do not tell this business of ours. Then when the Lord gives us the land, we will deal kindly and faithfully with you. This word kind in verse 12 and verse 14 comes from a Hebrew word called hesed, which means kindness. It's a reciprocal goodwill towards one another. It requires two people to show kindness. But there's a risk that Rahab is taking in extending this kindness, this hesed kindness, to the spies. And that is that she doesn't know if they're going to return it back. She doesn't know. And the spies are relying on this kindness in order to save their lives, literally save their lives. Why does Rahab trust the kindness of the Lord? Because she's seen the kindness of the Lord displayed in the life of the Israelites. They received the kindness of the Lord, so she is hoping to appeal to that same kindness so that they would show her kindness. That's what this whole exchange is about. It's a risk. It's a risk that they would show kindness and receive kindness from one another. The second way that we see a risk taken in this story in chapter 2 is we see them showing cooperative faith. And what I mean by that is to live a submitted life to God. In verse 16, it says, she said to them, go into the hills or the pursuers will encounter you and hide there 3 days. She lets out a rope and she says, go down this rope and go to the hills or the pursuers will encounter you and hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Then afterward, you may go your own way. So what is she asking them to do? There is a collaboration here between the spies and Rahab, a cooperation that has to take place. It's around the scarlet cord that she lets out. She's saying, go here, go to the hills, which we see throughout Scripture it put in this term, go to the wilderness, right? There are times where Jesus or his disciples would go out to the wilderness. And she says, hide there for 3 days. Isn't this an awesome picture? Where when Jesus went in to a cave when he went into the tomb for 3 days, and people considered him dead, gone, all right, he's out of the way. It was after that that what happened? He rose again, and he lived. The reward for Jesus' faithfulness, the risk that he took, was life. Then the spies turn to Rahab, and they give her a set of instructions. They say, "Behold, when we come into the land, you shall tie this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And you shall gather into your house your father and your mother and your brothers and all your father's household. Then if anyone goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be guiltless. But if a hand is laid on anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head. But if you tell this business of ours, then we shall be guiltless with respect to your oath that you have made us swear." Do you see how Rahab's faith is having to build? It's not going to be just that she shows kindness and earns the favor of God. There has to be a faith, a submittedness, a submission to God himself and the plan that he has for her. And what that looks like for Rahab is that she has to follow these instructions. The instructions are that she puts this scarlet cord and ties it outside of her window. That her and her whole family, her whole household, stay in the house. And that she keeps this oath. She keeps this secret that the spies have asked her to keep. Now, remember, these spies are a generation removed from something very similar happening in their own lives. Does any of this look familiar? A scarlet cord tied above your window. Everyone who's within a house is safe. This is almost a repeat of what happened in Egypt during the time of the Passover. When a lamb was killed and the blood, the scarlet blood of the lamb, was put on the doorpost, and who was saved in that instance? Everyone inside the house. Anyone outside that home was subject to penalty towards destruction, right? In this way, it's a type towards what God is doing. His provision, his care for those that he has extended hope to. And you see Rahab take another step of faith towards God. In verse 21, she says, "According to your words, so be it." You see, when I say that Rahab took a risk of faith by showing kindness, what I'm not saying is that the way to achieve the hope that God is extending to you is to just be really nice. It's to just be a kind person. That's not what is going on in the story of Rahab. She's demonstrating a faith in a sovereign God who has control of all things. And she's submitting her life to that plan. And as she does, she grows closer to God. She takes hold of the hope that he's extending to her. And that's the last thing that you see in this story. You see both Rahab, you see the spies, and you see Joshua take hold of the hope that he has extended to them. The spies have heard the testimony of Rahab and how she is known and heard about God. The spies have said, basically given her a path towards a life just like they had to take when they left Egypt. And now they get to report back to Joshua, and this is what they say. Notice, it's just to Joshua. It's not to all the people of Israel, because they weren't the ones that were taking this initial risk. It was Joshua. They go back to Joshua, and this is what they say. "Truly, the Lord has given all the land into our hands, and also all the inhabitants of the land melt away because of us." Do you think that was encouraging towards Joshua as he is leading this people really into their first battle? Man, that had to be huge for him. That he could live with that kind of hope, which he already had before. He had the faith, but now he's living with a hope. Like, it's there. It's in his grasp. And he'll be able to lead this way and lead his people. Because his faith comes alive, again, when we are willing to take risks toward that godly hope. Rahab's faith comes alive as she takes these risks towards godly hope. The spy's faith comes alive when they take a risk towards the godly hope that they have. Your faith and my faith comes alive when we are willing to take risks towards that godly hope. Here are the risks that we can take. We can show love and kindness because of what we've received from God. Do you believe that you've received the kindness of God? If you believe that, then you can extend that kind of kindness to others. You can show a cooperative faith, a submitted life. That's what you see Rahab doing. She is submitting her life to God's plan. And we can live with a confident hope that God is who he says he is and that he came to do what he said he would do, and he's gone before us. And we can live boldly and courageously for him. Here are the next steps that I'd like you to consider taking, and they revolve around these very things. They revolve around hope, that regardless of how things look in our life right now, that we can choose to hope in God and the plan that he has for me. Rahab thought that her life maybe was going nowhere. And then we see, fast forward from Joshua to Matthew. Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, you see Rahab's name pop up again. Do you remember how I said that we see the faithfulness of God, how he takes our story and weaves them into the story that he is writing? In Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, you see four women mentioned. One of them, which by the way, all of these women were Gentile women. One of these women was Rahab, who is the great, 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 I don't know how many greats exactly, mother of David, who is a part of the lineage of Jesus. Did you catch that? This woman who everyone else would have scoffed at, would have just shunned, God uses to bring about the redemption of all humanity. She had to have that kind of hope, that he could do that in her life. And that's why she did what she did. That's why it's so much bigger than just, like Hebrews 11:31, by faith Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. A friendly welcome to the spies? Like, that only explains like this much of what this moment in her life was really all about. The next step that we can take is towards faith. It's not going. There it is. It says, faith. I have been trying to live life on my own terms, pray that I would cooperate with God's plan for my life and submit to him in this area. What if Rahab, when she's told by the spies the way that she can live and her family can live, went, you know what? That seems a little too risky. I don't want to tie the scarlet rope outside my window. Like, that's just a little too far. You see, I can empathize with that because there are times where God says, Steve, in order to live for me, in order to demonstrate the faith that I've called you to live, I want you to do this. And I go, how about all the other things? But we're called to live by faith. To take risks, to lay our life, to submit our life to him. Maybe you'll take a moment to write down that thing that you maybe are holding back. And the last step is that you would love, that you'd look for ways to demonstrate the hope that you have in God by demonstrating a simple act of kindness to someone in your life today. You know, you've heard the idea of random acts of kindness with Christians, with people who are following God, who have submitted their lives to God. There's no such thing as a random act of kindness. It's just who we are as people. That's what our lives should be defined by. Simple acts of kindness. Rahab showing kindness to the spies isn't jumping off a cliff, you know, kind of a risk. It's simple. That's where her faith started. Maybe for you, it's just taking a simple step of obedience towards Him. Would you let me pray for you as you look at the hope that He's extending to you? And as you consider whether you want to chase after it or not. God, thank you for the story of Rahab. Thank you for how you worked in her life and used her story to bring glory to you. God, I pray that we would see ourselves in this story, that we would take a minute to look at the hope that you're offering to us, and that we'd live confidently in that hope, that we'd submit our lives in cooperation with what your plan is, and that we would demonstrate that faith by the simple acts of kindness that you call us to live out. God, you challenge us to love as you love, and you loved completely and fully by sending your Son. God, I pray that we would place our hope in you.